Hi, guys. JT from Texas. I was listening to the podcast the other day. Y'all come up with three new Ring of Honor. I think Simeon Rice should be in there. Dramatica should be in there. And I feel like Vincent Jackson, especially with the recent circumstances, he should be in. But if he's not, I like Davin Joseph as well. I was listening to Via talk earlier. And he was talking about trying to bring back Big Girl, a.k.a. Sue. I think he's the most important person to bring back, him and David. I'd like to have both of them back. We need to keep the defense together. I'm not as worried about Chris Godwin. I prefer him over Antonio Brown, but cost is cost, and we don't have that much room. That's the only reason why I would say bring back Brown instead of Godwin to move the money around. If we lose David, what are y'all thoughts on trying to bring in Quan Alexander? He's got a little bit of history with us. I liked him when he was there, and he plays for the Saints, so they've got to cut costs. So he may be, I've heard he's going to be a cap casualty. So if he's available and we can't get back Lavonte David, do you think he'll be cheap enough to where we could bring him in, maybe still draft somebody, something like that, and pair him up with Devin White? Ready to hear about it, guys. Go Bucks.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON20, and you will receive 20% off your next order. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucksNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. We'd like to welcome in all of our returning and our new listeners. Make sure you are subscribing to the podcast on your favorite podcatcher of choice. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a 5-star review. It helps other Buccaneers fans find us, and we greatly appreciate that.
Yeah, we do, James. It is Mock Draft Monday, so we've got a brand new, fresh mock draft that we're going to go over, critique, and give our opinions about. And then we're going to continue this Ring of Honor conversation. Just had a voicemail there at the top of the show. We'll have another one here midway through the show, and then you and I will share our thoughts on our Ring of Honor candidates. And then we're going to issue out a new question of the week. But first, to get the show started this week, there's some news, some rumors, some speculation surrounding one Mr. Tom Brady that we need to discuss.
Yeah, absolutely. And some of that cap room that JP was talking about to open up the show with that voicemail might be able to free some up thanks to quarterback Tom Brady. According to Josina Anderson on Twitter, she said, quote, "I'm told the Bucs are getting closer to reworking Tom Brady's contract per source. Tom Brady will be 44 in August. Brady has said he'd consider playing beyond 45 years old. From what I've heard, the team has a fairly ambitious list of their own guys to work through keeping. Will be interesting to watch the cap gymnastics play out for that endeavor and to see how much the final structure on Brady's reworked deal aids this team's ability to do that too." So, David, they're trying to get something done with Brady. Now, this is a situation where it could be a couple of void years where they can spread out the prorated signing bonus or however you want to structure that. But it seems to me like the more likely option is that they're going to extend Tom Brady for one more year. And so he would play 3 years as the Buccaneers quarterback rather than the original two that he signed for last year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if they can just tack on another year to the existing contract and move some money down the road to facilitate bringing some of these players back, I think that's the route that Jason Light and Mike Greenberg would prefer to take. And Tom Brady has kind of shown he's already a flexible type of player. He showed that his entire career. And then coming to the Buccaneers too, a lot of people thought that when he left New England, he was going to do it to break the bank somewhere else. And that just hasn't been the case. Tom Brady has been the consistent and the same Tom Brady that we've known his entire career, which is only going to benefit the Buccaneers and allow them to hopefully bring back, you know, at least four out of the five big name free agents that they have on their list. Going back to all the conversations we've had really all offseason since the post Super Bowl celebration week of episodes, however many they can bring back is really going to kind of help dictate their draft plans and give them the most flexibility, which Jason Light has said year in and year out that having flexibility in the draft is really the key. So we expect them to make a push to get all their players back. This is kind of step number one that we've all already talked about. Mike Evans and his restructuring is another step, and then there are some other steps they can take to clear up all kinds of cap space. Because as we've been told, and as everybody likes to say on social media, the cap is just a figment of our imagination in reality.
Yeah, I mean, I said to JC Cornell on Twitter when he was tweeting about this, I said, hey, bring back Tom Brady for two more years. Let's get 4 years of Tom Brady in Tampa. And I can't think of too many fans that would disagree with that. But David, we've got to move on because coming up in just a moment, we are going to get into Mock Draft Monday. But first, I told you about that bet that I put on my beloved Fighting Illini. I also threw a little bit of money down on the Masters, betting on Colin Morikawa to win the Masters. He is hot right now. And I think he's going to come away with a green jacket. That's Happy Gilmore. I think he'll come away with a green jacket. And of course, I made that bet over at betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, NHL, and PGA are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. Again, use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Mock Draft Monday coming up in segment two here on the Locked On Bucks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Chris calling from Hall of Fame City, Canton, Ohio. Just want to call in and kind of touch base on this Ring of Honor subject. Kind of want to answer this in two parts. I want to start with like three players that are retired that I think should definitely garner some consideration for the Ring of Honor. I'll start with James Wilder. He was a Pro Bowl running back here for a long time. We didn't have a lot of success with the guy, but I think he deserves, you know, a shot. My next guy would have to be Warrick Dunn. I think he was a great dude, very instrumental, you know, in our offensive scheme, you know, from the late 90s, early 2000s during our, you know, kind of glory years when, you know, with Sapp and Brooks and whatnot. And then my third retired player would have to be Simeon Rice. Kind of the same thing, very instrumental in the dominant defense we had, you know, for those years. I think all three of them guys, you know, should at least get a look. As far as current players go, I'll go ahead and just list three players real quick. I think Mike Evans, LaVonte David are kind of a shoe-in. If I had to, like, say one more person, I know it's kind of early, but with the skill set and the possible future Devin White has, I could very easily see 25 years from now that guy's name hanging up on the Ring of Honor as well. All right, guys, I'll get off here. Just want to hear your thoughts on that. And also, thanks, man. I listen to you guys every day. Helps these long nights in my semi-truck, man. Helps get through these. So, anyways, go Bucks and keep doing what you're doing. Peace. Fire the cannons.
Back now for segment two here, kicking off the week with the Locked On Bucks podcast, and we're covering everything you need to know about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but what about the rest of sports? Well, now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today, hosted by Peter Bukowski. It's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. James, let's get into Mock Draft Monday here before we get into our own Ring of Honor conversation. Again, big shout out to all of the people who've been calling in and emailing and Twittering about that topic. We've got another topic of the week, question of the week, coming up at the end of today's episode, so make sure you stick around for that, and we appreciate all the contributions to that as well. But Mock Draft Monday has become a staple here at the Locked On Podcast Network, and James, you found one from Chad Reuter. I'm not really sure how to say his name, to be honest with you, from NFL.com, and kind of going through that real quick. It's a four-round mock draft, and what's interesting about this that you pointed out to me is that he actually projects some comp picks. So, I mean, they're not going to be 100% accurate and all that, but I've kind of already said, and as we're looking through the internet looking for these mock drafts, I always say it's pointless right now to do a mock draft review for anything that's more than three rounds, because once compensatory picks come in, it's going to shift everything, and there's going to be, you know, 15, 20 picks in between the fourth round pick and then another one and another one, another one, just kind of gets pushed on down the line. But this one, Chad actually tries to come up with some comp picks. So well worth the read, even if it's not going to be 100% accurate. It's still a fun exercise to kind of see what happens. Something of interest that you pointed out, the NFC South rivals. So we already know the Saints are expected to lose Drew Brees, but the Atlanta Falcons add a quarterback in Trey Lance. And then later on, the Carolina Panthers also add a quarterback in Justin Fields. So the NFC South quarterback group is kind of getting reset for another era of names, so to speak, as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers move forward with Tom Brady until he's like 55 years old. And then the New Orleans Saints also make a trade with the Minnesota Vikings in this mock draft, get to pick 14 and take Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. So I don't know, maybe the Bucs need to be drafting a quarterback. Maybe not. Who knows?
Tom Brady's career will outlast all three of them.
I love it. That would be something. But then we move all the way down to pick number 32, and it's got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers selecting Notre Dame linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koromoa. So what do you think about that selection? And what do you think it says about what Chad expects to happen with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I like that pick. I know my son would be through the roof. He's a big Notre Dame fan, and he would be excited to see a Golden Domer join the Buccaneers. But to me, this says that Chad Reuter expects Lavonte David to leave, kind of going back to what Mike Garofalo said on Wednesday compared to his retraction on Thursday of last week. But I think Owusu Owusu-Koromoa would fit in pretty well. I think he would complement Devin White. I mean, he's not going to be Lavonte David, but who really is? So I think that would be a solid pick if that's the situation that the Buccaneers end up being in, that they have to look to someone to replace Lavonte.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a bad prospect at all, and he would absolutely complement Devin White, and I think that's kind of the big thing that you're looking for when you're talking about possibly having to replace Lavonte David. And going back to the voicemail that opened up the show, the reason I wouldn't want to see Quan Alexander back with this Buccaneers defense is because he essentially does what Devin White does for the defense. He just doesn't do it as well. And then he has the injury history that unfortunately he's dealing with right now as well. So when you're talking about pairing Devin White with a new inside linebacker to replace Lavonte David, that we hope it doesn't have to happen, you're really looking for a guy who is a steady run defender, but not as much of a blitzer, not as much of a, I don't want to call him a wild card, because Devin is certainly not a wild card. He certainly seems to have control over what he's doing when he's on the field. But you're looking for, I don't want to say even as more of a reserve guy, but you're looking for a better pass protector, a pass defender in coverage from a linebacker position than you are anything else, a contained guy that's going to push the running game back in towards the other tacklers, a dirty work guy, a blue-collar guy, the guy that's not going to make all the splash plays, but he's going to make the important plays, the key plays, and the smart plays that allow those splash players like Devin White make the plays that they get to make and hit the highlight reels and get all those accolades and everything. If you added another Devin White type of player with all the aggression and the speed and the click and close and all that stuff, a lot of that is very impressive, but what you end up with is no truly reliable option whose maximum strength is in the pass game. And that's what I think the Buccaneers, that's why when you look at a Kevin Minter, it doesn't scare you as much as, at least for me, going from Chris Godwin to Antonio Brown. What I think is interesting, though, James, is if Lavonte David does come back, right, so you look at some of the options that are still left on the board, when Chad sends Koromoa to the Buccaneers, you actually have an offensive tackle from Notre Dame going with the very next pick, the 33rd overall pick, Liam Eichenberg, going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That would be an interesting selection. Obviously, Donovan Smith's supposed to come back, but you never have too many pass protectors, so having another offensive tackle on the offensive line would be smart and would give them a little bit of versatility and flexibility. Travis Etienne was still on the board. He ends up going 34th overall to the New York Jets. So that would be another option, of course, with Najee Harris off the board in this mock draft. But then you scroll all the way down to the end of the second round, and it's Florida State defensive tackle Marvin Wilson joining the Buccaneers defense.
Yeah, this is another one where it looks like he's kind of planning for a free agent to depart and play elsewhere, possibly the guy to line up next to Vita Vea in Ndamukong Suh's absence. And we know how Florida State Seminole fans are. They would be very excited for the Buccaneers to take somebody from Florida State, because if the Bucs were to pass on him, we would hear for the next 8 months about how what a mistake it was, and the Bucs should have drafted the guy from Florida State, because all players that come out of Florida State are surefire Hall of Famers.
You know what? We haven't really gotten a lot of that this draft season, actually, but Marvin Wilson is someone that I looked for at the Senior Bowl. And I mean, I don't want to say I didn't see anything really all that impressive out of him. I mean, he just kind of went there and did kind of what you expect him to do. And that's not necessarily a negative. So you don't want to hold that against the guy, but it's definitely an interesting pick. I don't know that You know, I think that pick kind of fits no matter what. Even if Ndamukong Suh comes back, even if Will Golson is still here, Fita Vea is obviously still going to be here. I think taking a guy like Wilson is still an intelligent play. It gives you depth on the defensive line right up front. He's more of a Raheem Nunez-Roches type for me, to be quite honest with you. So it gives you that depth, but it also gives you a young guy to develop because eventually, you know what I mean, Ndamukong Suh is towards the later years of his career anyway. So eventually you're going to need somebody to step up. So give him some time to learn, to develop, to mature, and see if he can turn into that replacement. Moving on now, James, to pick number 95 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Well, look, I'm going to jump in real quick because I'm going to do something that I never, ever do. And I'm going to hype up an Ohio State Buckeye. How Josh Myers in this mock draft fell all the way to the Chargers at pick 77 is wild to me. Josh Myers could be even better than Nick Mangold, who had a phenomenal NFL career as a center coming out of Ohio State. Josh Myers is an absolute mauler, and I would be stunned if he got out of the second round, let alone slipping all the way to 77 in the third round. So little love for your Ohio State Buckeye, but also he came out of high school in the city that I live in, so I've watched him with great interest.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's got to be a connection there somewhere, but speaking of Ohio State Buckeyes, not only do the Carolina Panthers get Justin Fields, they actually end up doubling down on Ohio State players as well, and they end up selecting Trey Sermon, the running back, so that's going to hurt my heart if that actually comes to fruition. But your son would be happy with the Buccaneers' 95th overall pick, Dalen Hayes, edge rusher out of Notre Dame.
Yeah, I like this one too. And not just because it's another Golden Domer, but because Dalen Hayes would be a very effective edge rusher in a rotation. I wouldn't say that he could come in and immediately replace, you know, a Shaq Barrett, but getting acclimated to Todd Bowles' system, being a rotational guy, I think Hayes could do some damage in this defense. I would be excited to see him in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And then Chad doesn't project the Buccaneers get any third-round compensatory picks, which I think is accurate. I think you mentioned they're probably in line for a six. I think that is about what we should expect from the compensatory selections. And then finally in this mock draft, Demetric Felton, running back out of UCLA. Obviously, J.C. Cornell is going to be happy with that selection, but how do you feel with him joining the running back group there at pick 138?
You know what? Once you get into this range, it's you're throwing darts. I trust Jason Light and Bruce Arians to pick guys that are going to fit the offensive and defensive schemes. Having another running back come in, I think would be great. I'm not really familiar with Demetric Felton, so I would want to watch him a little bit. But as long as he can catch the ball out of the backfield, I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like you said, getting into that range, you're looking for potential. You're looking for the prospect of what he could become more than you are immediate contributions. But adding to that running back room, not a bad idea. Hopefully it turns out better than some UCLA products have in the past that have been drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So, speaking of, though, James, of things doing better than other things, we have been doing great with our relationship with Built Bar. Built Bar has been doing great in their relationship with us. They are the best tasting protein bar on the market, and they have been for a while now. Built Bars are amazing, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and just amazing tasting. However, not every flavor is for everybody, and that's what we're getting at today. It's time for Built Bar Madness, and I don't want to say that us as network hosts created this, but I have a feeling, James, that we created this because we were talking about something just like this in our own group chat. We know that, you know, the owner of the network and everything is in there and he sees what we talk about. So I can't feel like this is a coincidence, but we're going to talk about matchups. And guys, for those of you who like to get involved in this kind of thing on social media, if you go to builtbar.com or to built_bar on Twitter, you can vote in Built Bar Madness. They're going to have matchups just like March Madness does. And James, for Monday, our matchup, we've got two of them. You ready?
I'm ready. Hit me.
We've got Apple Almond Crisp versus Churro Puff. I'm going to let you take the first stab at this.
It's got to be Churro Puff, right? I mean, I love the Apple Almond Crisp, but it's churros. Who doesn't love churros? They're delicious.
I mean, listen, churros are amazing. But Apple Almond Crisp is also a pretty good flavor. And here's the biggest thing that's going to determine it for me. They always say the best ability is what?
Availability.
And guess what? What happens right now if you go to BuiltBar.com? You can't find Churro Puff. Not right now. It's limited. It was limited when it came out for a good reason. It's awesome. But it was only there for a short period of time. I'm sure it'll come back. But Apple Almond Crisp is there whenever you need it. It's reliable. You know what you're going to get. I'm going Apple Almond Crisp. I'm going with the guy that you know is going to be there when you need him. That's what I'm going to go with. Our second matchup in this contest, peanut butter brownie versus raspberry.
It's not even a peanut butter brownie. Undefeated.
Absolutely. I mean, that's like the North Carolina or the Duke. I don't know which one. Kentucky maybe of the Built Bars. I mean, raspberry, like you're a good version of the Dayton Flyers. Like every once in a while you might come up and surprise some people, but peanut butter brownie has been there, is going to be there, and is going to be there moving on. And if you want to have peanut butter brownie, raspberry, apple almond crisp, or churro puff in your collection, all you got to do is go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON20. You'll get 20% off your next order. Again, that's 20% off with the promo code LOCKEDON20 at BuiltBar.com. Come back, go vote if you want to. Come back to us. We're going to tell you, we're going to update you on this tournament. We're going to keep making our own selections. But for now, we're going to get into segment three of today's episode of Locked On Bucks Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Wrapping things up here on a Monday edition of the Locked On Bucks Podcast, Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson could be on the move this offseason. Tune in to Locked On Seahawks and Locked On Texans to hear what our local experts are willing to trade for the star quarterbacks. Listen to Locked On Seahawks and Locked On Texans on the radio.com app or wherever you get your podcast. David, it is time to wrap up our question of the week with our answers regarding who the next three Buccaneers should be that are inducted into the Ring of Honor. But first, we received an email from Dan in Orlando, and he writes, "Not sure I'm a fan of David being a two-team podcaster. I'm personally too biased, but I get it. Good for you to grow your podcast works. Trading OJ Howard, would hate it. No less than a second rounder potential is too high, in my opinion, when healthy." And then Dan wraps up with a question. "If we don't re-sign Levante David after we all get done crying about it, I seriously would. What do you guys think of Alabama linebacker Dylan Moses as a first-round target or trade up in the second round to get him?" David, you and I kind of have similar thoughts on this one, but I'll let you dive in.
So I mean, Dylan Moses, you know, obviously if you want to replace Levante David, it's going to be hard no matter what. And right now it's really hard. And this is what's going to make this year's draft really interesting. It's what made last year's draft interesting. But at least last year you had the scouting combine, right? You had some pro days that everybody could be at. You had some games. Like this whole COVID thing and the special considerations or the restrictions really hadn't kicked into high gear so much that it really threw everybody off the scent as far as who the top players were going to be, mid-level players, et cetera. But this year, it's a completely different game. Like there is no scouting combine. So that's why the Senior Bowl was so important. But even the Senior Bowl is just a fraction of the available players that are going to be available for draft weekend. So who goes where is really a big topic of conversation. And I think this is going to be the year you're going to see more people wrong than you ever have before. And don't get me wrong, it's not even necessarily an importance of being correct. I mean, if you hit on 10% of your mock draft picks, then that's a really good mock draft. You know what I mean? So it's not like we're talking high averages here. But I think this one's going to be interesting. But Dylan Moses, just from what we're looking at, what we're seeing, I don't have a big board. I don't really have a ranking for players just because it's not part of my gig. It's not part of my shtick, so I don't really have to go into that stuff. But Dylan Moses really is looking more like a mid-day two type of player from what we're reading, James. And I mean, what we're reading is guys who do this all year round, so I would lean on them a little bit more than I would go against them. I don't dislike the selection. I just don't know if the valuation is first round or even high second round.
Yeah, I mean, the mock draft that we went through in segment two, he has Dylan Moses going to the Los Angeles Rams with pick 101, a late third round comp pick. So, yeah, I mean, Dylan Moses could be a great fit, but talking about first or second round, that, you know, from the experts, sounds like it's going to be way, 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 way too high. All right, but David, let's go ahead and jump into our Ring of Honor real quick. Thanks to Tyler, Chris, JT for sending in their Ring of Honor candidates. They named guys, you know, Warwick Dunn, James Wilder, Simeon Rice, Vincent Jackson. David, why don't you go ahead and dive in and name the three players that you think, or the three people you think should be next in the Buccaneers Ring of Honor?
Yeah, I've got Simeon Rice in mind. I think that's kind of an easier pick. I've got Hardy Nickerson. And you know, truth be told, like, we've kind of talked about this on the show. We've talked about this, you know, between you and I or whatever, but I spent a lot of my formidable years, you know, football fan development years overseas. So like my favorite football team of all time is currently and always will be the Frankfurt Galaxy, even though they don't even exist. And that's a German football team going back to the World League and NFL Europe. You know what I mean? So that's who I grew up. You know, if you want to talk about childhood, that's like when some of you were out there like 5, 6 years old watching the Buccaneers win the Super Bowl for the first time. I was 5, 6 years old wearing a purple jersey with an orange Galaxy logo on it, you know, cheering for guys that, you know, most of them never even played in the National Football League. So it's just differences in how we grow up. But Hardy Nickerson's a guy that, you know, even as, you know, when we got back to the States and I got a little bit older and more aware of the NFL game in general, Hardy Nickerson is a Buccaneer. Like everybody, like even if you don't like the Buccaneers, you're not a fan of the Buccaneers, you know who Hardy Nickerson is and was. And so to me, Hardy Nickerson is a guy, a name that has to be considered. Simeon Rice for obvious reasons. And I threw Bruce Arians on there. I don't know. Maybe I just want to watch the world burn. But, you know, if John Gruden is going to get in the Ring of Honor for one Super Bowl and for really not doing anything else, I think that Bruce Arians needs to get there. I mean, you know, taking a team from 7-9, bringing in the appropriate people. And look, I know a lot of people say, well, that's more on Tom Brady. Da, da, da. Got it. But Tom Brady's already said he doesn't come to this team unless Bruce Arians is here. You know what I mean? So it all kind of goes hand in hand. So for me, I'm putting Bruce Arians in there before we even see what happens in chapter two of the Tom Brady era experiment, whatever you want to call it, because I'm just that confident that whatever happens in 2021 is only going to back up my assertion right now.
Yeah, I also have Hardy Nickerson on my list for all the reasons that you just said. Yeah, he was one of the guys that came in and started to turn that culture around. He came from a winning organization there in Pittsburgh, signed as a free agent, and really helped turn the culture around along with Brooks and Sapp and Lynch and those guys. I do have Vincent Jackson on my list, not just for what he did in his time with the Buccaneers on the field, but also to honor what he did off the field and his charitable efforts and how involved he was with the community. I think he deserves a spot. I mean, you're talking about a guy that 10th in team history in receptions, 4th in yards, 2nd in yards per catch, 11th in touchdowns. And James Wilder. I think James Wilder has been sorely overlooked. I know Ren over at the PewterCast is going to agree with me. He's been pounding that for quite a while. James Wilder, all time for the Buccaneers, number one in rush yards, number one in rush attempts, number two in touchdowns, number five in yards per carry, number two all time in receptions. The running back, James Wilder, number two in franchise history in receptions. He's earned that spot. Yeah, he played on some really terrible teams, but you know what? He deserves the recognition that he so greatly earned in his time with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But David, we are going to get out of here. Our new question of the week. Go ahead and call in 813-444-5841 or email us at lockedonbuckspodcast@gmail.com. You can write in an email. You can record a voice memo, send it in. But our question of the week, David, forget about cap numbers. Pretend those don't exist. It's Madden. You turned off the salary cap. If there was one free agent from this year's free agent class that you could add onto the Buccaneers roster, who would it be and why? Go ahead and send those answers in, and we will play them and wrap things up just like we did with our first question of the week here on next Monday's episode. And don't forget to send in your Would You Rather questions for Would You Rather Wednesday. Check out everything going on over BucksNation.com. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCo_Bucks, at DHarris82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding Monday. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.